So it's on page 9 and 10 of the Pew Bibles. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken with his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp beside the oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by the Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I will give this land to your descendants." And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord, who appeared to him. After that, Abram traveled south and set up camp in the hill country, with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. Then he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord. He worshipped the Lord. Then Abram continued traveling south by stages towards the Negev. That's the word of the Lord.
It's great to be with you, and it's lovely to be here for Zara's baptism as well. One of the great privileges I had in the vicaring business was baptizing people from the cradle onwards. And I remember one such occasion at Christchurch when we had three people. One was a babe in arms, and another was a guy who was well into his 80s. And Bill wanted to be baptized in the pool which we had. So his daughter said to me, "I think, Malcolm, it might be a good idea to have members of the St. John Ambulance Brigade on hand just in case." Well, Bill got in somewhat slowly. He went half under and he got out and followed Jesus. Bill was baptized into the story. And in one parish, another one, we had a church school. So for parents belonging to the church and getting their children baptized counted in their favor as far as getting into this very popular school was concerned. Now I can hear some of you tut-tutting away. But you know, 45 years later, a significant number of those parents who really came for one thing went away with far more than they bargained for, and are still practicing committed Christians in the life of the church. They went away with a lifelong part and eternal place in the continuing story above all stories. See, God doesn't always work in straight lines. The God of glorious surprises is the God we meet in the story. And it's never too young or old to plunge into that story. And so we continue our teaching series around the idea of engaging with the overarching story of the Bible. The story, as we've said, is not only true, but is God's story for every generation and culture. The story that claims to tell the whole truth about how our world really is. The story that to become a part of will help us find meaning for our lives. A story where our own experience will fit, will be valued, and more vitally, will be transformed, because it is a story of a big, big God who continually surprises his people with the scope of generosity and grace and mercy, It's the story of God loving us with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love, as this book tells us. Or in the immortal words of Janet and Joan, flower arrangers of another parish, well, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Next one, thank you. So we're looking at this story into which we as baptized followers of Jesus are part of. And it's a story, as we saw, that started at the beginning. Good place to start. Well, way back when, literally in the midst of signs. A story that has six chapters, a play that has six acts, a film or Netflix series that has six episodes. It's better than a Netflix series, I can tell you that. So we saw how in chapter one, act one, God creates the heavens and the earth. I call this also creation plan A. God's story and drama begins in this chapter, chapter one of Genesis. God creates the universe and everything in it. And to top it all, God creates human beings. In his image, male and female, he created them. So in other words, you and I, we are not just random creations. We are created by a personal, all-loving God to reflect his love, his life, his image in this world. We believe this, so we're in. It's our story. And all the way through this story, all the way through these chapters and acts, we will see God interacting with people. That is what the Bible is all about. It's about God relating and interacting with people. You and I. Because human beings created in the image of God matter to God. And in this story, the problems always come when God ceases to matter to us, to human beings. Next one, thank you. Which leads us into the second act, the second chapter, or what I call Plan B and Plan C. God's Plan A fails, we know that. Adam and Eve and co, they fail in their call to be God's image bearers, to look after God's creation and reflect God's love and goodness. The plan falls apart. The corruption of sin in terms of idolatry and injustice enters and mars and spoils all of God's creation, his good creation, as we know. The author, Francis Spufford, calls this the human propensity to mess things up. He doesn't quite put it like that, but that's another story. Sin is more than simply failure or weakness. It's more than our active inclination to break stuff. Well, that's actually, sorry, it is more about us actively and inclined to break stuff. Promises, relationships, the world around us, our own sense of well-being and that of others. But I think even more fundamentally, sin fractures the relationship between God and all that he has made. Now, I hope we're on common ground. I think almost everyone recognizes this as one of the truths about themselves, about us. We mess things up. Anybody want to question that? See me. We can have a conversation afterwards because that's what it's all about. We mess things up by design rather than by accident. Sin has I in the center. And not God. Period. So God regrets the whole sorry business, to be honest. If it doesn't work with the whole of humanity, God says, let's try it with one good righteous person. So God tries to sort out this mess of injustice, murder, and mayhem through a rather drastic plan B, a nuclear option, if you like, involving a lot of rain, a boat, and a guy called Noah. And sadly, that doesn't work out either. Noah messes that plan up as soon as he disembarks from the boat. So with the colourful promise of committed covenant love in Genesis 9, God decides to put into action plan C. I call this the Rainbow Project, which is where we move into Act 3, chapter 3 of the story. Israel, plan C, Abraham. Thank you. Next one. Thank you. And all things, you could say, begin, don't get too excited, to get better. Because plan C is basically what the Old Testament is all about. Is it gone? Okay. The story, the antics, the twists and turns of the people of Israel. It's a messy human propensity to mess things up sort of story. Yet at the same time, it's a beautiful, hope-filled story of God committed to working it through in ever-widening mercy with those he has created and called to reflect his image. This plan C is rooted in the life and faith of an old man. When we first meet him, he's known as Abram, one good and holy man. And Abram's children are to become God's holy people, formed by the law into a people of worship and justice. And through them, God will come into relationship with all peoples once again. But, spoiler alert, they too failed because of the HPTMTU factor, because of sin. But these opening words that we heard just now, oh, hallelujah, there you go, of chapter 12 of Genesis, are really, I would call, a manifesto for all that follows in the Old Testament. And it's called the Call of Abram. Leave your country, your relatives, go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Let me say what these well-quoted verses are not. Let me start off with a health warning. Zionist Christians, among others, focus on what here seems to be God giving the title deeds of Canaan to Abraham and descendants. And we know this can lead us into extremely controversial areas. And not a million miles from that idea is the one that gives birth to what we call a prosperity gospel. God will bless you with health and wealth if you do X and Y. If you claim this blessing or that blessing, if you send this evangelist or politician, even this pastor, a check, money, even if you vote for certain people. It's quite a popular theology in areas, understandably, where there isn't a lot of wealth or health. It's also quite popular to all those who are never content with enough. But I don't think these verses are about that at all. And to think they are is, again, one of those cases I've talked about before where the gospel is turned upon its head, where God's story is used for personal gain, for personal means. We turn the blessing, the berach, that's the word that's used, which is basically a serving word. It's a giving word. And we turn it on its head like this. And we use it for our own self-centered, sinful means and it leads to all manner of ungodliness, injustice, violence, discrimination, as we see daily on our television screens at the moment, and a lot, lot worse. The editor of the New York Times said last week, if you begin to worship power and wealth, then kindness, mercy, and compassion become like sin. Someone once said to me, well, recently actually, Malcolm, the problem is you're too woke. I looked at them and said, you couldn't have said a nicer thing to me. What a compliment. Let's not turn this gospel upside down, folks, please. Next one, thank you. So you say, well, what does it mean, Malcolm? What do these words actually mean to Abraham? And what forms the very essence of God's story through the Old Testament and into the New? What is it really all about? And I think the key is in those parts of that blessing that I've highlighted there. You will be a blessing to others. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. If Abraham didn't get it, well, he did actually in the end. This is the point of Act 3 of Plan C. You will be a blessing. Blessing isn't fundamentally about security that comes through more land, children, wives, camels, donkeys, SUVs, pages on your CV, degrees, houses, holidays, awards, endowments, guns, clothes, or body enhancements. It's none of those things. Blessing, folks, is fundamentally about others being able to trace their sense of well-being and hope and peace and joy to you and me. Blessing is about God's serving and giving through us. Somebody once asked me, what is the point of a church, a Christian community? In a few words, they said, looking at me. I don't know whether it was one of those times when we were all into sort of writing out mission statements, you know, sort of 85 pages of, you know. I simply said, to be God's blessing. That sums up what Abraham said yes to becoming. And the rest is his story, as they say. God is saying to Abraham, I wanted all humankind to be a source of well-being and hope and peace and joy to one another and to me. But it didn't work out like that, Abraham. So I thought I'd try to condense all that well-being and peace and joy into one person. But that didn't work out either. So I'm going to try and convey all the well-being and hope and peace and joy I have to give the world through one special people. And that people will be the people I give the world through you. Now, we could say that didn't work either. We know how it ends. But what did work is that the promise made to Abraham and the God of promise he said yes and trusted himself to, the promise to receive and be blessing is at the heart of God sending Jesus. And the creation of the community of Jesus' followers, the body of Christ, or as Paul works out, the new Israel. A newly created people born out of their faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus, signified and brought about by those who, like Abraham, say yes to God and seal that yes in what Paul describes as the new circumcision of baptism. Plan A, B, and C combined in one person and in one people in the name of Jesus. So the point of blessing, the point of all this, in Genesis, in Jesus, and today, the point of the story is that we should become people through whom others find well-being, hope, peace, and joy. Next one, thank you. Scott hinted at this, and this is where I end, as it were. Today, the church thinks about the presentation of Christ in the temple. It's really the end of the Christmas and Epiphany season. And it's when Joseph and Mary brought their child, Jesus, to God, to the temple. They came in obedience to the law, to pray, to sacrifice, to give thanks, to offer their child to God, because they wanted their child to be part of the story, God's story, and their story. And there they met this old guy, Simeon, like faithful Abraham and Sarah, a senior who learnt how to trust and wait upon God, who took their baby in his arms and basically said, God of our fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it doesn't get any better than this for me. This is what I've lived, and this is what I've longed for. I'm looking, I'm holding your salvation. In my arms is the one in whom God's covenant story of mercy and love, promised to our forebears, comes to fruition to all people now and forever. God's promised light to lighten the nations. Jesus, God saves. So, Louise and Jeremy, like Mary and Joseph, you've brought Zara into this Christian community, the body of Christ, into the presence of God here among us. Not to have Zara done, not just to have a lovely celebration of God's gift of Zara to you and to your family, which I hope you will do, of course, but far more significantly to say, we want Zara to be part of God's story. We want God's story of blessing, of love and mercy to shape her life, her character, her gifting, her potential, her place in society. We want God's story to live in and through her life because we believe that Zara is a child of God. She matters to God and God matters to her. And baptismal water and candlelight will symbolize to you the heart of this wonderful story, that the God of Abraham comes and offers all a new rainbow beginning, a fresh start, rooted in the love and light of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. So may Zara, with all of us, be blessed, served by God, so that we may become the blessing of heaven come to earth. The blessing that offers hope and future. The blessing of healing light and forgiving love. May we bless those around us with Jesus. God's plan A, plan B, plan C. Jesus. God save.